Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
This Triple American Australia podcast is brought to you by Cooper's Mild Ale. Cooper's Mild Ale is a 3.5% mid-strength beer that tastes more like a full-strength beer because you can actually taste it.
Bloody massive show, Lawrence Mooney.
Massive.
So much on today. We'll be chatting to Todd Sampson, of course, from Body Hack. It's a massive television show on Channel 10 tonight, and he's got another episode. We'll have a quick chat with him this afternoon.
I am looking forward to hearing Malcolm's voicemail, but can I tell you a secret I've discovered?
Yeah.
I was introduced, you know, the mid-afternoon where you'd get a little bit, I don't know, whether to have something to eat or a lie down or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I've discovered the secret of more stamina, the mid-afternoon teeth clean. Oh, my God.
What?
The mid-afternoon teeth clean.
A bit of a quick toothbrushing.
Yeah. It's made me a new man. I'm ready.
And you smell minty fresh.
I'm fresh.
You're minty fresh. Well, it's not what I expected you to say. I really thought you were going to say coffee.
Right.
But, no,
oh,
look,
and
whatever.
Peptides. I've just shot up in the toilet.
You're brushing your teeth with peptides. So, actually, funnily enough, on the show today, we'll be talking about steroids as part of the big question. That's going to be very interesting. And back. It's back, and I'm very excited about this. What did you mean to Google? Has been sanctioned for a return. It's taken, what, about 4 weeks to get it through management again. Oh. It's back. This afternoon, you will hear, what did you mean to Google? But then you saw something else. We'll be playing that a little later on the show. Loz, funnily enough, I do want to talk a little bit about parenting to start the show today.
Yeah. How's your parenting going?
Pretty on point, I reckon. Doing
good.
A pretty bloody awesome job of being
raising a couple of great kids there.
Yeah. I've got a little, for anybody who doesn't know or doesn't care, I've got a 7-year-old boy, Woofie, and I've got a almost 5-year-old daughter, Kinga. They're great kids, doing well. And as a father, Loz, I mean, you've got two girls.
Yep.
You're kind of charged with passing down knowledge, instructing them in life's little lessons, yeah?
Absolutely. Like that great Telstra ad about the Chinese wall. What, Great Wall of China, or whatever. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. Remember that one. Really, that was the first thing that came to my mind, was the Great Wall of China and Telstra coming together. Yeah, but I have taught my son how to ride a bike. And he's nailing it. I taught him how to ride a scooter. He's nailed that. Everything's going well. So on the weekend.
So he's got transport covered.
Yeah, he's got it covered. But he's a very sensitive boy, my son. He's a lovely, lovely human being. And I thought, you know what? Maybe it's time for him to get a little bit of confidence that might come with learning martial arts or some fighting.
Time to toughen up. Time to punch him in the head. Is that what we're saying?
No. Not quite.
Keep your guard up. Not quite.
But, you know, he could learn some lessons. Now, here's the thing is that despite my immaturity, I am a second dan. So I'm actually at a level where I can instruct kids. So that's my plan. I'm going to teach Wolfie how to do taekwondo. I'd like him to grow up learning it. I think it's really beneficial for kids. Yada, yada, yada. But I thought we'd start with some boxing.
But the thing now, you can't teach kids how to hit.
Fight.
Can you? So
no.
You can't teach them how to fight because that's bad. No, you've got to teach them a martial art for self-confidence and for expression and all that.
That's exactly right.
I.e. how to punch a bully's lights out.
Well, that's the thing. I've told him, I've been very good. I've said, mate, this is not, I'm going to teach you how to use your hands and eventually I'll teach him how to use his feet, right? So I went out on the weekend because I'm one of those dads that just goes, right, we're doing this. Let's go and see how much money we can spend at Rebel Sport first. Okay.
Right.
Straight down to Rebel. Down there, like literally the doors hadn't opened on Sunday. And I'm going, righto, what we need is some boxing gloves. I've got them in a kid size. Bang. He's laced up, ready to go. Padded's out there. Focus mitts, everything. I've just gone nuts at Rebel.
You got the beatbox just pumping the Rocky theme.
I did. Just brought some old speakers down, put them in the garage. I bought a massive side of beef. Just a half a cow, and we punched the bejesus out of it. And then he goes, I don't understand the reference, Dad. And I said, it's Rocky, but don't worry, son. You don't need to worry about the reference. Just punch the dead animal.
So it wasn't a side of beef, it was just a dead cow.
Just a dead cow.
Just decomposing in the garage. Yeah, punch it.
I didn't have a saw to chop it up or any friends. It was Sunday, the butchers were shut. And it wasn't a cow, it was a...
A rat. We found a rat.
It was a tabby. Look, it's not important. It wasn't technically dead. It's not important about the details, okay?
Yeah, chase a chicken, chase a cat, same thing.
Whatever. I laced him up. And I said, "Here's, you know, I'm just going to show you the basics." And that's the thing is, I wanted to show him a little bit of boxing first before we get into taekwondo. I want him to know the basics of, you know, jab, cross, uppercut, hook, just the four basics, right? And just so he can get a little bit of a feel for it and give him a bit of a go. So he's laced him up with his gloves. Everything's going really, really well. And I said, "This is a very serious thing." Had a big chat. And then at the same time, he goes, "Yeah, this is, he's doing really well." And I said, "Woofy, you've got a good little right hook on you, mate." And he goes, "Really, Dad?" And I said, "Yeah." And he's so eager to please. And I said, "Just have a little bit of a go. Maybe, you know, have a little bit of a go in the focus, Matt." So he just had a little go in the focus mitt. And then he's just turned around and his sister has walked over at exactly the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. You knew this was going to happen. It's the Watts
King
family.
Kinga, no fights, no knockouts.
Kinga has walked over and Woofy's gone to punch the heavy bag and his glove has glanced off the side of the bag and the momentum has gone around. Whack! Right in the forehead.
Oh.
His king hit a girl called Kinga. The irony alone did my freaking head in. And I'm just straight away, I've just gone, "Woofy, no, 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 don't tell your mum. Don't tell your mum. Here's the important life lesson here. Don't tell mum that you've just hit your sister in the head because your dad gave you a pair of boxing gloves."
And how was Kinga? Did she come back with a combination?
I just said, who loves a chocolate freckle? Who likes a chocolate freckle? You do. And as soon as you are awake, we're going to get you a chocolate freckle.
Right.
You've got to be careful what you teach your kids and at what age. But look, you know, it's the Watts household. It was never going to end well. But it's all good now. The kids are fine. No one's hurt.
I think it's good parenting. Yeah, everyone's had a great experience there.
Yeah,
I'm Kinga will look twice.
Kinga, yeah, well, Kinga knows now, don't stand anywhere near Dad or Woofy when they're reenacting roles from Rocky. Yep. 133353, let's open up the phones. What do you regret teaching your kids? Now, this could be anything from you might have thought it was a good idea to teach your kids how to drive a car earlier. I've not done that.
No.
Or riding a motorbike. I've not done that. It might be boxing. It might be a martial art. It might be how to make ninja stars. Probably not. Don't do that. But you might have taught the kids something nice and they're thinking you're doing the right thing and maybe it's backfired. 133353, what do you regret teaching your kids? Taking your calls nice and early on 133353, what do you regret teaching your kids? We try to impart these life lessons, don't we, Loz? But we don't always get them right.
And you've taught Wolfie a little bit of martial arts, a little bit of boxing. You know, be able to enter the discipline, and he has knocked his sister out.
Yeah, she's not even five. And seriously,
did you give her the count? Did you go one, two? You know, you're out, Kinga.
You see those sickening things, you know, when you see in boxing or mixed martial arts. I saw one today on the clip when somebody gets hit and they get a bit wobbly on the feet. They get spaghetti legs and they don't know where they're going. And you go, "Oh, what if you do? Don't hit them again." And that's what she looked like. Only kidding. Right. She was perfectly fine. Didn't even touch
her.
She's making it all up for radio docs. Oh, somebody right now is going to my house to remove my children. Taking your calls, though. Darren, hello, mate.
Afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Yeah, good. All right. What did you regret teaching your kids?
How to wrestle, like the WWE wrestling.
Oh.
Yeah. Coming in off the turnbuckle.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what he does with his little three-year-old brother. He's at my oldest is only four. Sorry, my youngest is two. And, yeah, when my two-year-old's watching TV, he'll come off the lounge like flying elbows puts his friends in arm bars and wrist locks and figure fours and even headlocks. Yeah, so, yeah.
Has he got a little
Danny's
costume?
Little interest.
Has he got a costume though, Darren?
Not a wrestling costume, no, but he does have...
Yeah,
Darth Vader.
All you need to do is, that's all you need to do, mate. Get the kid a cape and some sort of face mask, and anything he does is completely sanctioned by the laws.
That's it, luchador style.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Darren. It's made me feel better.
Yeah, I like it. I like that, And plus, a younger brother's going to learn from that. You're going to learn a lot from a flying knee drop.
Yes, so you can. Like you don't love your family. Hello, Jason.
G'day.
How you going, mate? What do you regret teaching your kids?
I regret teaching them to jump fire.
Oh, because they don't always clear the fire?
Yeah, well, my eldest child, I had three boys and was a sort of a father-son thing. I'd had a couple of sherbets. We had the fire going. Everyone's having a good time, and I decided to start jumping the fire. And then my youngest went over. I think he was five. My seven-year-old went over, and my eldest, who was 10 maybe, he went to launch and got scared, and one foot in the fire, oh, one foot out, sparks everywhere. And I think, like Merrick, don't tell your mother.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that was a hokey-pokey accident. That's what that was. That wasn't a jumping a fire incident. Having a damn hokey-pokey went horribly wrong.
Yes, it was a bad thing to do.
It was a bit disturbing when you said, I had three sons. You've still got three sons?
Alive.
You didn't lose one at a sausage sizzle at Bunnings?
Do a quick head count, though, Jase, just to be sure if you could. I like how he's just going, you know what? We should do a fire jumping thing. That sounds like a great idea. Okay, we've got Justin. Hello, Justin.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, really good, mate. What do you regret teaching your kids?
How to do the Malcolm Turnbull impression for Mr. Moon Man Moody on the grill team.
You know? Oh, really?
I've got three boys, and the second eldest walks around the house going, good on you. You're a good guy, and I like you. You know? So if you do something good, he says, good on you, Dad. You're a good guy, and I like you. Good on you. You know?
Good on you.
You know what?
Classic.
Socially, he's probably going to find that more difficult than if he was jumping fire or punching people accidentally.
Oh, absolutely. He loves it. He plays up to it at school, you know.
Oh, God, look out.
He loves it.
Do you live in Point Piper, perchance?
No, he'd like to. You know, we live in the Blue Mountains, so we look over Point Piper, as he says, you know.
Oh, okay.
And he loves to go down to have a swim in the ocean. You know?
Oh, well, nice.
Good
you
on
know?
Him. Oh, he sounds like a terrific constituent.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract, and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G, and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
As you know, Mez, we have got unprecedented access to the Prime Minister's voicemail, whether he be at Kirribilli, Point Piper, or at the Lodge in Canberra. Yesterday was his birthday. Did you know that?
Oh,
he's a Scorpio. Happy birthday,
Is he
Prime
a Scorpio?
Mm. Yeah, he's a Scorpio.
He's more like a Libra.
Oh, a bit of a Sagittarian. No, he's a Scorpio. There's a sting in that tail. And then today he wakes up and he's had some more bad polling news. He's just not popular. So let's find out how he's feeling.
Hi, it's the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull speaking. Yesterday was my birthday and I got a JB Hi-Fi voucher, some Argyle socks and more miserable polls. People are comparing me to Tony Abbott, which is strange because I can't remember eating a raw onion and knighting a prince. If not me, then who shall be the Prime Minister? Leave a message.
Happy birthday, Turnbull, you Eastern Beaches year-round tan, pull-over round the neck, suave, blonde, quaffing, antique, appreciating, chattering, do nothing because you haven't got the Jazz Crackers high-end, passionless spiff. Anybody is the answer. Anybody but you, you invertebrate, bottom-feeding, financial market parasite. It's Lazarus!
Hello, Mr. Turnbull. What about one of the Hemsworths, Chris or Liam or the less-known Luke? He was in Neighbours. He was on Dr. Carl's footy team and cut up rough because he didn't get picked. Story of my life, Mr. Turnbull. But you just got to stick it up and carry on. Yeah, so maybe a Hemsworth for him. It's Jackie. I think the next Prime Minister should be a real bastard. And by that I mean illegitimate child, because I'm making so many. All the cleaners and cooks and domestic staff I meet, I impregnate them. So there's so many more illegitimate children. So definitely use him in politics. Or me, I was once governor of California, and now I'm unemployed and lonely. I'm so lonely. It's Arnie.
Malcolm, it's Christopher Pine speaking. Don't have a crisis of confidence, please. Just because the polls are bad, everybody hates you and you're doing nothing. So what? They're all just jealous that you're the best. Australians are all about the tall poppy syndrome, Malcolm, and you are the tallest poppy. You're the tallest and straightest and most beautiful poppy in the bunch. Your poppy would have pollen all over it because all the bees would be fighting over you. Ooh, buzz, buzz, buzz. It's Pinus radiata. Give us a call. Oh, fearless leader. Don't let a few bad polls get you down, thrill seeker. Ow. It's your birthday week. Do something special. Take the lovely lady loose down to the local for a cartery. Park the Commonwealth car somewhere in a secluded spot and get back to basics, my little Mandarin. You are the top man, the PM, the usher of the black rod. You are the top of the heap. You are the continental. Assert yourself and have a beauty. Lead and they will follow. It's Bawdy.
Loz, I've got some very exciting news for you. Next Tuesday,
Melbourne Cup Day,
we're going to go hunting foxes together.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, you thought we were going to go to the Melbourne Cup, but we're going to go out and shoot some innocent. No, we are. We're going to the Melbourne Cup, which we might see shooting it. Oh, God, awkward. Let's move on. Mez, shut up. No, next Tuesday, Loz, we're taking the show to the Birdcage at the Melbourne Cup.
Awesome. I have been to the Melbourne Cup twice.
And it is awesome.
And it is. It's a long day. You've got to really pace yourself.
Yeah, you can get emotional early, can't you?
You can get emotional early, and you don't want to be carrying your shoes by the end of the day screaming out, Gary, I'm tired.
I've done that yep. With my cans out. It was just a mess. Just going, God, I wish I'd brought thongs. Oh, and then everyone's going, Merrick, just stop, shut up.
The forecast for Melbourne Cup Day, though, is 16 and fine. So ooh, that is perfect conditions. Not too hot, no rain, no wind. And last year, famously, a woman pushed a policeman into a bush. Remember that?
That was brilliant. Oh. I mean, a woman also won the Melbourne Cup for the first time as well, but that was second fiddle.
That overshadowed by the fact that a woman pushed a policeman over.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, which one did you replay most on YouTube?
That's, yeah.
It wasn't the Melbourne Cup.
All right. Michelle Payne and Prince of Penzance. or a woman pushed a policeman over.
And then, poor bugger, he lost his sonnies and everything. Anyway, none of that will be happening. We're going to have a good, fun, wholesome day. We'll have heaps of guests on the show. We're going to obviously be broadcasting the show from the Melbourne Cup as the Birdcage, which is the fancy part. So, Loz, I've got to go through some rules that have been set down as part of the invitation for you to come to this.
Thongs and stubbies?
No. Oh. You must wear a suit and it cannot be tailor-made in Thailand.
Oh, really?
Nope. Nope. Because it can't.
My pinstripe suit's horizontal. I just don't get it.
Absolutely no novelty ties.
Really?
Yeah.
So I've got to leave the bass at home. Sea bass.
Yeah. Charlie Carp. No, that also includes cravats. That's for only Maddie will be there. Maddie Preston.
He'll be a guest on the show.
Yeah, he's going to be on the show on Tuesday. Betting is only permitted on horses. So no punts on the dish lickers. Or intoxicated fighting housewives.
So, okay, good.
These are all rules that have been set down by the producers, not me.
Now, our marquee, is it a three-man tent with an esky in it, or is it a proper...
Nah, it's the Birdcage, mate. This is the real deal. We're in the fancy part. We're in the big time. I don't know how it's happened.
Because some of those marquees, they've got the full... inside, it looks like, you know, a house. Mm. It's fully furnished, upholstered... waiters, the whole thing.
That's where we're in. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go to the outdoor lawn version of the Kardashian house. That's where we're in. We're going to go in there. It's going to be all gaudy. We're not going to know how to sit on the furniture properly, and we're going to make a mess of it. So that's no, we're not. It's going to be very pleasant. It's going to be a lovely affair. A couple of other rules, Loz.
Yeah.
Now, these have been set down embarrassingly, by the producers and also to senior staff here at Southern Cross Austereo.
And the Federal Police.
And the Federal Police. These are specifically tailored to Lawrence Mooney. Just really quickly, I'll just get through these. Snappy.
No going into the disabled toilet with Jeff Hugel.
Banned from speaking to the following people. Jennifer Hawkins.
Oh.
Bindi Irwin.
Hey.
Jessica Mowboy.
Oh.
Jeff Hugel.
Jeff.
Jeff
I'm
Hugel's
not going
wife.
In there with you.
Jeff Hugel's wife.
Right.
Jeff Hugel's sister's wife. Jeff Hugel's wife's sister.
Any of the Hugel family.
Any Hugels. Anybody right. with the name Hugel, you're banned from.
Right.
Beck and Leighton Hewitt, you're banned from. Bert and Paddy Newton, banned.
Oh, no, me and Bert go back a long way.
Yep, that's why you're banned. Jennifer Hawkins and Jake Wall. I've already mentioned Jennifer Hawkins on her own, that's Jennifer Hawkins and Jake Wall, and also Jake Wall on his own as well.
And it's always good to remember, after your sixth champagne, you're not becoming more attractive.
Yeah, good point.
You look the same as when you arrived at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not a bad-looking guy. Hey, Jen.
That moment, and this is for everybody. You know that moment where you just go, you know what? I just feel like everyone likes me. That was one drink ago. But don't stop. I'm not saying stop. I'm saying that's when you should approach a celebrity. 100%.
So, hey, backless, so that must mean they want their back licked. All right, yeah, that's cool.
That's
you're
not
under
you,
arrest,
that was,
Mr. Mooney.
That's why it comes down to. So there's rules. One more. The Lapalia that hosts Survivor. The other one is fair game, but the bloke from Survivor, he's had a pretty rough
he's
time.
He's had a rough trot.
And he doesn't need a Lawrence Mooney back lick right now.
6 kilometres above sea level.
My mission is to work as a Sherpa at extreme altitude.
Todd Sampson will carry what they carry.
30 kilos on my back.
Climb how they climb.
The crew's struggling now.
And this time, it's not only Todd's life.
Not looking good.
That's on the line.
Just stopping every 10 steps and keeling over in.
Body hack.
Lawrence Mooney with me this afternoon. I fed income, love this show, Body Hack. If you saw it last night, Todd Sampson tried to join the French Foreign Legion and within about 30 seconds was almost sent home with medical injuries. That's always funny and it's best right. But tonight, his greatest challenge is to become a stripper. He joins us on the line now. Todd, how are you, mate?
That's Sherpa. There's no stripping.
Sherpa?
Meters.
Oh, right. Sherpa!
Yeah, it's a Sherpa. Oh, I was wondering, what kind of stripper has 30 kilos on their back?
Believe me, I wore so much clothes and didn't shower for so long. The last thing you would want is me taking off my clothes.
In terms of all the groups you've met, French Foreign Legion, cage fighters, where are Sherpas in terms of strength and toughness?
Yeah, and their endurance.
They're up there. They're potentially the strongest. I was passed on that climb. I was passed by a Sherpa with 90 kilos on his back, and he didn't even weigh 50 kilos. And he passed me in running shoes.
What?
That is showing
off. They balance using their neck. I mean, they're the nicest, kindest people, but they're so bloody strong. And when everyone else is falling over, they just keep going.
Okay, so are these Nepalese Sherpas that you're talking about, these are the guys that we see take people, you know, to the base camp to Mount Everest. So these are the guys that you're talking about?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, there's roughly 5,000 of them. They live at the base of the mountains in the Kumbul region.
Yep.
And, they were originally farmers and then became Sherpas because that's where the money was.
Mm.
And they risked their lives basically hauling confused climbers up to the summit, and unfortunately on this on tonight's show the crew just couldn't handle the altitude, and they were literally hauling confused camera crew all over the mountain.
Wow.
In South America, they use coca leaf to deal with altitude. Have they got something that helps them deal with the altitude?
Time, but the other thing that a lot of them do is they smoke.
Right.
I think they try to live, they live in a hypoxic state most of the time. So when they get up high, it's quite normal for them.
That's interesting.
It's mostly time. They grew up there. I did a blood test with a Sherpa. We compared side by side. And basically, their blood
doesn't react the same way ours does when you go to altitude. Their hemoglobin is more efficient, and everything, the oxygen's moving around their body much more efficiently than me.
So, Todd, last week when you're with the French Foreign Legion, talking about how special forces operatives compared to like regular soldiers or regular people have a chemical composition in their brain that allows them to deal with stress and the stressors of exposure and fatigue and everything else. Is the Sherpas, is that kind of what you're exposing tonight, that these guys have a physiological difference to the average person?
Yeah, they have that. They have a unique, their hemoglobin is quite unique.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true. But their belief and faith and never say die, I mean, they do die, but never say die attitude is really what puts them through. It's a great example of really of mind over matter, because once you're above 7,000 meters, it levels out. There's no genetic advantage. There's no biological advantage. Everyone's dying equally. So then it comes down to who's mentally tough and who's not.
Well, the Nepalese actually have a pretty strong reputation. Anybody who's into war history, or even if you're not, Google Gurkhas. Gurkhas are, of course, the special forces from Nepal that have been seconded by the British for over a century. Those guys are just next level.
Hey, Merrick, that's an idea. That's an idea, right, for the next series. Mm. I think the Gurkhas would be really fascinating.
Mate, you would not last a day.
Now, that encourages me to look into the Gurkhas immediately.
No, they'll kill you. Is what I'm saying.
The Gurkhas can't draw their weapon without drawing blood. Yeah. So if they don't shoot someone, they've got to injure themselves.
That's right. They cut their fingers and rub blood on the blade on the cooker.
Now, Todd, you were saying that there's 5,000 Sherpas living at the base of the mountain, so it's kind of vocational and cultural. Did you meet a Sherpa that just said, gee, I hate this? I really hate this Sherpa.
I met plenty that they just wish they had a different way.
A car? Did they wish they just had a car?
Yeah, exactly. I met one Sherpa who had lost four very, very close friends, and he was just funny. Over it. He was like, We need to get better education in that part of the world, which Edmund Hillary really helped with, better education and more job opportunities. They're risking their lives, basically, more often than not, to haul Western climbers that pay $75,000 a year to somehow get to the summit of Mount Everest.
Wow, that's too much money for a Sherpa.
That's a bit of a class divide, isn't it?
No, it's too much money.
The Sherpa will get a couple of thousand.
What?
So all of that money goes to climbing groups, so mostly Western. So the Sherpas are hired at a really discount price to take them up, and the Westerners supply the food and some tents.
See, I'd go out on my own, Todd, and I'd say, you know what, I want to. You can carry my bags, you can carry me. Let's do this. Let's make this happen. Todd Sampson, Body Hack returns 9:15 p.m. tonight on Channel 10, straight after Survivor, mate. Hopefully we'll be able to check in with you again before the end of the series, mate. I'm loving it. I think it's a terrific show, and it's cracking in the ratings as well. So good on you. Well done.
Yeah, thank you.
All right,
mate.
Talk to you soon. Go and have a little lie down on the Sherpa.
Australia has the big pineapple, the big banana, and now, thanks to Triple M, it's got the big question. The only difference is you don't have to spend 6 hours in the car to get to the big question.
Lawrence Mooney, there is a new obsession called bigorexia. It is a muscle dysmorphia, and it's a disorder that mostly men have where they obsess over muscle mass, and it drives men towards steroid use.
So body dysmorphia or dysmorphia, they people look at their body and they don't think it's the right shape. So somebody who gets anorexia always thinks that they're too large. And so bigorexia, they're probably thinking their muscles never big enough. So they'll do anything to just... And you see these guys too. They look like gorillas.
Mate, dudes were not that fit when we were young blokes, Loz. You know, you see some of these young guys and they're young. You know, they're in their early 20s and they are just absolutely ripped, you know. And I'm not suggesting that all of them go to Stereosonic, but a lot of them go to Stereosonic. And I know that sometimes you have drug sniffer dogs, but you don't need a drug sniffer dog for steroids. If they're wearing a bum bag, they're using steroids.
So have you ever used steroids?
No, I this is absolutely true.
Have you attempted? No. Never?
No, never. Never. It's just if a doctor told me I needed some sort of anabolic steroid, I would take it, but no. Here's the thing, Loz. I had some blokes I used to knock around with when I was a young lad, and they were 1 or 2 years older than me, and they got into the roids, and we were like, most of them, we were just like, why would you do that? There's no kick to it. It's just about bodybuilding. And this is a long time ago when steroids were not anywhere near as refined as they are now. And they got really massive, but we're just like, there's probably three or four of them are going, why are you doing that? That's kind of weird. And then one of them died last year of a heart attack.
Really?
Yep.
So it really does impact on your health.
Yeah.
It can like shorten
100%.
Your life. 100%. I remember just before the Olympics, I was reading an article on banned substances, and we got to anabolic steroids, and I read out to my wife, Lou, I said, these are some of the side effects of taking steroids, severe mood swings, back acne, and shrunken genitals. And she said, I didn't know you're on steroids.
Oh, oh, Loss. that's well played. But in all seriousness, though, here's the thing that I saw today, and I was just like, wow, okay, this is really disturbing. In Sydney, at the some needle exchanges where you would normally typically see heroin users, that drug addicts are going to there use them as a needle exchange.
Which is a great thing, I reckon.
Yeah.
Safety and health.
The needle exchange program has now been tipped on its head. Instead of being for just, you know, majority heroin users or methamphetamine users, 31% is for steroid users. So these, you know, shooting galleries that they've been referred to, needle exchanges, we always associate that with heroin. It's actually only 6% less people going there to use it for steroids than heroin.
That's an amazing statistic that the use of steroids has grown so much. And it's all about, I think, you know, body image, especially now what women have been through for decades, men are having, you know, put onto them.
Yep.
And this is the outcome of it. I'm amazed at that statistic, but in a way, it's good that they are shooting up safely and cleanly.
It's astounding. I've got to correct myself there. 31% of it is actually higher than heroin. I was wrong. It's 6% higher than the use of heroin in these shooting galleries, some shooting galleries in Western Sydney. So that is massive. And that's what the big question today is. This is not judgmental. We can, of course, affect your voice. You can change your name. You don't have to be identified. But I want to know, have you been a steroid user, or are you a steroid user? There are so many questions I want to know. You know,
fascinating.
How easy is it to get this? How much does it cost? Is it addictive?
You know, is it illegal?
Yes, most of them. I think, you know, prescription, like all drugs, right. I think, you know, if they're prescribed, they're not. But, you know, what we're seeing young people do to get to the discos, mate, I've seen what it does to them, and I've seen the way they dance. That's not a drug you should mess with. It's probably a combination of drugs on that one. But in all seriousness, 133353, have you been a steroid user, or are you a current steroid user? Tell us about why you do it, what it's like, and whether or not it's addictive. Can you just turn it off? Or is it got a powerful grip on you? 133353, give us a call. Lawrence Mooney with me this afternoon. We're asking on 133353, have you been a steroid user? Apparently it's in epidemic proportions in Sydney, Western Sydney at the moment, where in needle exchange services, it's at a higher concentration than people using heroin, requiring needles to use heroin. Unbelievable. I think we're all surprised by that, Loz. But let's get to some calls on people who have used or are currently using steroids and find out what it's all about. Hello, Stuart.
G'day, Merrick. How are you, mate?
Very good, mate. Thank you for taking the time to call us up and have a chat.
No problems. It's a good subject to talk about.
It is. What are you using, and how did it start for you?
Well, to be honest, I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly what type of steroid I use.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of users are like that as well. I originally got into it. I did Muay Thai kickboxing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it just to get a bit of an edge and just to help me recover from training.
Yep.
Prior to that, when I was 19, I started taking testosterone because I was running the bodybuilding back then.
Okay, so you've had two cracks at it, Stuart.
Yeah, I started from probably about 19 till 23 on testosterone supplements, and then got into the anabolics when I wanted to wait till I was 30, but I started a little bit earlier simply because of the sport I was involved in.
And so, Stuart, run us through the upside of it and the downside. What's the good thing about taking it?
The upside of it is I think that once you use it for a reasonable amount of time, you always have that edge in your body. Like your body always is a little bit better for recovery, a little bit stronger, and you certainly can build muscle a lot quicker.
Right.
And, you know, recovery is a huge element, isn't it, too? You know, the ability to fight or perform one day and then, you know, 2 days later you can go it again as opposed to having to wait 3 or 4 days to recover?
Exactly right. But the downsides, obviously, you've got the acne. I found that each time I've come off it, I've had a lot of depression.
Right.
And one thing I noticed with a lot of guys, because I was never able, I'm not a big needle person, so I've never been able to actually inject myself. I'd get a mate to do it. But I found that a lot of my mates that actually were able to inject themselves found it a lot easier to use injectable drugs as well.
So you're saying that they could then move on to other forms like methamphetamine or heroin?
Yeah, or speed and things like that. A lot of guys go to Thailand to get their gear and bring it back over. I know the guys that I used to get it through used to go over there, a couple of big bodybuilders. And, yeah, if they're going out on the weekend, they had no hesitation to just shoot up some narcotics just because they were so used to sticking a needle in.
So it's a bit of a gateway. And
And I think that addiction that a lot of intravenous drug addicts have to the actual needle is the same for a lot of steroid users.
Oh, so right. You're talking about the process.
Ceremonial almost thing, the same way people, you know, get used to, you know, and I don't want to use parlance for marijuana smoking, but, you know, mulling up and then packing bongs. It's become ritualistic. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's the same way with needle use.
Yeah, I don't have any science behind me, but I certainly feel that that's the case with a lot of guys that I've seen on it.
So, Stu, obviously we don't really know much about it here, and a vast majority of people listening probably don't either. Explain, you said at 19 you used testosterone, and then you moved on to anabolic steroids when you were 29. What are the difference in those two drugs? What are those? What is just all steroids, or I mean, to us they are. What's the purpose and the reasoning between the two different types of injectables?
I found the testosterone would boost your natural use, like your natural production, without getting as many side effects such as, you know, shrinking of the testes and things like that.
Mm. Do you have tiny testes, Stu? You can tell us, and it's okay. It's a safe place.
No, I've actually got elephantitis now.
They're huge, aren't they? A couple of avocados down there, Stu. I knew that. I was leading you into that one.
Got to send us pics, Stu, or it didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. Bloody Stu sitting on a space hopper.
So, okay, we've taken a serious subject, and basically we're just asking you how big your genitals, Stu.
Yeah. That was always going to happen. Sorry, Stu.
I think that only really happens to guys that abuse it.
Right. So do you reckon you've got it under control, Stuart? You will continue to use these drugs?
Yeah, I haven't used them for 12 months, and I'll probably go back on. It's getting close to summer now, so I'll probably hit it back up. I don't compete in any sports anymore, so I'll simply do it just to drop a few kilos on and cut up a bit, yeah.
Well, and is that a common thing in your experience, Stu, that guys come summer, they just go, I'm going to take some steroids and get...
Definitely.
Good looking.
I've got a lot of mates. I used to get pill-formed steroids. They're called Dynabol. And, I've got a lot of friends that used to take them. And they just take them on and off for 1 week and then 1 week off, which are obviously a lot worse for you because of the way they go through your system, through your kidneys and liver.
That's a big problem, Stu, is, you know, liver damage, cancer, jaundice, heart failure, diabetes. You know, you're running a...
Tiny testes.
Well, not in Stu's case, but that's it's a risk. Mate, Stu, I really genuinely hope that you don't use them this summer. Instead, you just do what I do and just accept the fact that you've got a bit of a fat gut and just move on and accept the way you are. But listen, mate, thank you very much. We only got time to get to one call, but it was an absolute corker.
That was fascinating.
Yeah,
that
Stu,
was great.
Thank you very much for your time. Unfortunately, some very grim news floating about at the moment. So we'll try and lighten things off over the next half an hour. So, Loz, one of those things is Donald Trump. The New York Times has compiled a list of 281 people, places, and things that Donald Trump has insulted on Twitter since declaring his candidacy. That 281. He's been hard work.
I reckon if someone went through my Twitter feed.
No, don't.
Yeah, might be up there too.
Yeah.
But he is running for the number one office in the free world. He's he wants to be president of the United States. So it's a little bit different rather than a tipsy comedian or a guy who's just not suited for the job. His language is just unsavory, and it's not that smart either.
No, it's not. Let's look at some of the celebrities that he's attacked on Twitter. He said about Samuel L. Jackson, don't like his golf swing, not athletic. Wow. Mm. It's pretty insulting, since he was talking about Larry Fishburne. So that's, of course, another joke. Okay. He said about Whoopi Goldberg, now in total free fall, terrible, very sad.
And the weird thing is, he was talking about Sidney Poitier.
Yeah, he's just got no idea.
He's just so racist.
It's not just people. It's, it's places.
Trying hard to disguise their massive Muslim problem.
Well, far out, mate.
Yes. You know, I mean, it's the bigotry too that is constant in it all. It amazed me that, it, you know, it was just the way he talked about grabbing a woman that it was finally the tipping point when he'd called Mexicans rapists, drug dealers and murderers, you know.
Mm. Oh, they've copped it, haven't they? They're building a wall to keep him out, I've heard. The other one too, this is just like, so he's done celebrities, places. He also said about Saturday Night Live, a show which he has previously hosted, boring, unfunny show.
It's a boring, unfunny show. It's huge.
Oh, he's ridiculous.
He's had a go at everything, but, you know, he's not the only one that has a bit of a crack, Merrick.
No.
We've been going back through, well, not your Twitter feed, but some of the things that you've said on this show, and it seems like you don't mind getting stuck in either. For example, baristas.
So how about you just give it to me as opposed to the hipster attitude with your beard and all your weird mermaid tattoos? Oh. What are you a sailor or are you making coffee? Okay? Just make me the coffee.
And it's just not the soft targets of baristas. Sometimes it's terrorist organisations like ISIS and models.
ISIS brainwashes intelligent people.
Yeah.
Now they're focusing on the elite. They're going after models now.
I know, they're going after the high end.
Wow, I mean, if they can convince models to do something dumb.
What's next?
Holy shit, what hope do we have? Oh, you're making me look bad.
Yeah, Hoodoo Guru's front man, Dave Faulkner, copped it.
Let's talk about one of the more serious issues of the music industry, hair loss. You're in a band. Like, it's a symbol of rock and roll to have long hair and be free-willed. And then all of a sudden, God starts to hate Dave Faulkner.
And, of course, the front man who is your whipping boy, Grinspoon's Phil Jamieson.
Oh. I have to ask you a question that I ask every Australian musician who comes in here. Have you ever slapped or hit Phil Jamieson from Grinspoon?
I wouldn't dare. He's scary.
No, you'd be surprised. But if you were to say to me, Mez, in Australian rock, who's most likely to slap another man in aggression? I would say Phil Jamieson.
Oh, dear.
Didn't you? Is that the biggest bullet you've dodged since Phil Jamieson tried to stay at your house? Oh, far out.
And now, of course, the most hated of all members of society, cyclists who wear Lycra.
Blokes who wear Lycra shorts when they're riding a bike, you're not sponsored. Why do you have all those sponsors over you? They're not paying you any money. Parmalat is not your friend. I was literally driving my motorbike this morning, righty, and I saw somebody cycling along and I just went, mate, all the stickers, but you've got no sponsorship. What are you doing? I thought I should talk about that on the radio.
And it's the white Lycra shorts when they sweat up and you go, I can see you.
There's three things you can count on in life: death, taxes, and Mez and Lawrence doing something inappropriate.
Oh, Merrick.
Merrick. Get away from that microphone.
Merrick and Australia, Triple M.
The Cooper's Mildale, Lawrence is with me, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
Merrick and Australia present, What Did You Mean to Google?
Yeah, what did you mean to Google? What did you type into Google innocently, just looking for something regular, and then all of a sudden, oh my God!
Oh,
that can't be unseen.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of these things happen out of the kitchen. You know, people don't put anything into Google that includes whipped or cream or waffle.
Yeah. Even
because
lemon's
you'll
not
lose
so...
your appetite.
Yeah.
It's, lemon.
It's so much lemon
if you're
gonna, cream
if you're looking
pie.
For something, you know, if you're raising chickens, use the word chicken.
Yeah,
or
really
rooster.
Yep.
No other alternatives.
No. Because like even if you're trying to like you want to find a recipe for chicken and it's a French one and it involves wine. Don't if you're
don't
not entirely sure how to get your French on and say coq au vin, don't because it's just gonna come up a
do
drunk
not
guy
cock
with
in
his
a van.
Nah. Always dangerous, always good fun. What did you mean to Google? Last time we did this, we had this guy.
Jumping to check your mail, you type in Hotmail, and shit, I've got the spelling wrong.
Hotmail. So much wrong. 133353, give us a call right now. What did you mean to Google?
Mac and Australia present, what did you mean to Google?
Lawrence Mooney with me this afternoon, and this is a very popular segment that we've created here, Loz.
Yes, and always a lot of fun. What's more, you can play at home.
Yeah.
What you need to do is get that search engine ready, and away we go.
Okay, let's kick it off with Gary. Hi, Gary.
G'day, Merrick. How you doing?
You're really good, mate. What did you try to Google? And then
I was trying to look up that, you know, that singer Björk.
Björk, yes, the Icelandic screaming queen.
That's the one. Apparently, it's some Japanese custom that I didn't really understand.
Oh, oh no! Oh no! 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 No!
It wasn't
the
same picture.
No. The funny thing is there, Gary, is that some people have tried to search Japanese traditions and have come up with Björk, and they've gone, no, 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 no.
Definitely the other way around here.
Yeah. Well, I think you get similar images if you put into Google plaster as radio. Am I in trouble now? I am in trouble.
Darren, hello.
How you going, mate?
Okay, very good. What did you attempt to Google?
It wasn't me. It was my daughter when she was young, about 5 or 6. She's put in her name, which is Ebony.
Oh, sweetheart. Get away from the machine. Over here.
Yeah,
oh, darling.
You can imagine.
Oh, that's not fair.
That's not fair. That's not right.
Yeah, she was a bit distraught, let me say.
Yeah, there is no God. That's wrong.
That's got nothing to do with backgrounds of people, where they're from or anything like that. It's just that's a child who's just seen some stuff. It's just off her
pop. It's a genre. It's unbelievable.
Is it? I don't know. Is it a genre?
I think it is.
Annette.
He says, looking, yep. I've just hit Google. I'm pretty sure it's a genre.
Annette, this is the most perilous radio segment in the country. Annette, what did you try to Google?
Well, once again, it wasn't me. It was my mum. She overheard a cleaning company. She was going to get the carpet shampooed, and she Googled it to get any reviews. What she Googled, however, was carpet munches.
No!
That is so good, because I haven't heard that expression since 1988.
I just want to see your mum just typing that in and then pressing enter.
She thought she was so clever on the iPad and the Google, and then not so much.
Did she throw it away? Did she get all panicky and just launch it into the air?
Well, she had to tell everyone about it because she had to confirm that that's what it actually was. She hadn't heard this thing before. She's like, you know, I Googled today. I was like, yes, Mum, we've heard of that before.
What's sad is both of those Google searches do house calls.
Merrick has clocked off after another hard-working day.
People who work in radio have got it pretty tough.
This Triple M American Australia podcast was brought to you by Cooper's Mild Ale. Cooper's Mild Ale is a 3.5% mid-strength beer that tastes more like a full-strength beer because you can actually taste it.